Open your Bibles this morning to Lamentations chapter 3. Dear Father, thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness. We praise you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. Now we pray for your help, your encouragement, strength from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. We read this text earlier, and I would like to focus on verses 22 through 24 once again. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. As we've been doing on First Sunday, except for last Sunday when Brother Johann was with us, last First Sunday, we're focusing on attributes of God. And today I want to focus on this precious attribute that God is faithful. We have seen that God is eternal, God is holy, and God is omnipresent. But here is a magnificent attribute: God is faithful. So follow along in your Bible, and let me throw out some truths to encourage us based on 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. All through Scripture, we have this wonderful truth from Lamentations to 1 Thessalonians that God is faithful. Think about this. There is someone who will never let you down. There is someone on whom you can trust completely. Someone is dependable always. Someone always keeps his promises. Someone is always trustworthy. Someone never changes. Think of that. Never changes. And therefore is steadfastly reliable. Someone remains firmly planted in a world of change and flux. And someone is consistent regardless of what others do, regardless of how they act, or regardless of what they say. And someone always conforms to his purposes. And that someone is the God of the Bible. His name is God. People may fail us, but not our Heavenly Father. And over years of ministry, I can testify to this. God is faithful. And over the years of your Christian life, can you testify to that? That God is faithful. That he's been there all the time. He's been there in the good times. He's been there in the hard times. But he has been faithful. And not once did he leave us nor forsake us. Here's a great test for the foundations of faithfulness in a friendship or in a marriage. It's how well that relationship comes through the storms. And sometimes they don't do too well. Sometimes they sail through, as if it were fair weather. We look at some of the storms that come into the life of a believer, and we can see our relationship with God, that it is steadfast, that God is faithful even in these storms of life. I want to look at three storms that come into the life of a believer and see, is God faithful in the storms of life? Is God faithful, first of all, when I am depressed? Is God faithful when you're depressed? And you say, well, I never get depressed. I say, well, just keep living, you will. Probably everybody here at some point or another has been discouraged or depressed. Well, we might ask ourselves, well, when would I be depressed? And here are some suggestions from Scripture. Look at Psalm 143. Look at what was happening here in the life of David. Psalm 143 and verse 1. A prayer of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. When people are against us, God is faithful. And David experienced this in verse 3. He says, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead." He says to God, "I have a problem. I am depressed potentially because enemies are against me. They're persecuting me." And so he says, "Hear my prayer. You are faithful." So people were against him. And he faced this in verse 7. "Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit." He was facing alienation, fearing alienation from God. Don't hide your face from me. God, in your faithfulness, be there and be consistent with me. And he's glad to be. Think of the persecuted church. Think of those who meet in fear of their lives to worship God. Is God faithful to them? Absolutely. When they face what it says in verse 3, "The enemy has persecuted my soul, crushed my life to the ground." I read a horrific testimony in the Voice for the Martyrs magazine about this dear brother in Egypt that was hung up by his heels and beaten. Horrific. The torture, the punishment, not 100 years ago, modern times. And all kinds of cruel and torturous things done to people because they're Christians, they're believers in Christ. Is God faithful? Absolutely he is. But we can cry out to him when we face any sort of opposition. God is there. He is faithful. And so we don't need to stay in a pit of depression. Have you ever been depressed? You felt like someone in your office was against you. Someone in your family maybe was against you. They were speaking about you and it made you feel down. Look to the Lord. He is faithful and he will not leave us alone. And even in our own soul, if we feel alienated, God is faithful and he answers us in his faithfulness. Well, here's another occasion where we might be depressed. It's when our supplies run low. Look at Psalm 37. And notice what David says here in this wonderful psalm where he delights in the Lord. Look at Psalm 37 in verse 25. "Have you ever had the month run out before your bills did?" The money ran thin before everything was covered and you felt down. You felt low. And you wondered, "Lord, where is it coming from?" Look what David said here in Psalm 37, the same psalm where he said in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Verse 4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart." In verse 25, he said, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." When our supplies run low, we may feel down, depressed. Is God faithful, though, even in that time? Absolutely, he is. Experience shows God to be faithful, according to David. And God meets the needs of his own. You're familiar with this passage, I'm sure, but let's go there in the New Testament to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 and verse 19. Paul speaks to times of need in his life and also times of abundance. Notice what he says here in verse 10. He speaks to the Philippians and he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." How can we be content? Because God is faithful. Verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Here's the situation. The Apostle Paul, this missionary, and this fits in with our lesson this morning in Sunday school. Here he is in Rome, and on his missionary endeavors, he said, you Philippi people, the Philippian church, you sent aid to me. You participated in my need. He said, it's not that I seek after what you have, the gift, but I want fruit that comes to your account. And think of God having this divine ledger. And here is a church that gives toward missions. And God credits their account, their ledger, with credit for giving to missions. What an exciting process that is. And Paul said, I've learned this, verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus, he was the messenger from Philippi, the thing sent from you. And what is it? It's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul says, listen, I know how to be on the bottom shelf economically. I've been there where I'm hungry, I'm destitute, I have need. And I know how to abound. And you Philippians have given to me, and so I'm doing fine right now. You've supplied my needs. Prison wasn't like today, when you have three meals and all these benefits and TV and games and all of this. No, people depended on others to supply their needs in the prison. The Philippian church helped meet Paul's needs, and he said, I'm full. I have everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be low on the shelf, high on the shelf. I've been through it all because here's the key, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because God is faithful. He will meet the needs of his people. But when our supplies run low, we might for a time be depressed, wonder where it's all coming from. But God is faithful. God is faithful. There's another occasion when we might be depressed. Let's go back to the Psalm, Psalm 27 and verse 10. And that's when loved ones leave us. It could be that they leave us in death, or it could be that they forsake us in life. Jesus understood the bitter pain of betrayal when one close to him, who shared the bread with him, turned on him, actually two, Peter and Judas. That can give great cause for low feeling. Look what David said, Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He will take care of me. I love this verse. This is a tremendous verse. It is a horrible thing for a parent to leave their child, to forsake them. It's a horrible thing for a husband to leave his wife, or a wife her husband, or children their parents when they're up in years. But while this may happen in earthly relationships, God never leaves his own. Never. He never leaves them. Praise God for that. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. And I saw over the years how faithful God was. When my father left me, how faithful God was and how he handpicked these men to come into my life as father figures at key times to play ball with me or to fix my bicycle or take me fishing. And even more importantly, to disciple me in ministry. I am so thankful for every one of them, but behind them is the Heavenly Father who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have a crisis in our day of fatherlessness. It's a crisis. And so many problems in our society can be traced to that, the lack of a conscientious father in the home. I want you to know that there is a perfect Heavenly Father who never leaves, who never forsakes, who never quits on his job. He is always faithful. Look at Isaiah 49 in verse 13. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Now verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Oh, we heard this horrible account this week of this baby. I think it was in the Bronx, found in a trash dumpster. Horrific. It is not natural for a mother to do that. Can a woman forget her nursing child? And God says, surely they may forget. We see that. A child abandoned. Older children left for days by themselves. God said, that may happen, but I won't forget you. I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Isn't that great? I am there. I am faithful. I will not leave you. I will never, ever leave my own. And we're to be content. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we find this wonderful truth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we can bank on that. We can count on that continually. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So if you're down today, maybe someone has disappointed you in a close relationship. Maybe you were bereft of a father or mother through death. Or maybe they forsook you and left you alone. Run to the arms of the Heavenly Father and say, thank you that you promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I don't have to be depressed because you are faithful. Is God faithful when I am depressed? When people are against us, when our supplies run low, when loved ones leave us, absolutely, God is faithful. That's one storm of life. But here's another one. Is God faithful when we are tempted? Is God faithful? Notice this wonderful verse. I hope you know this by heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Is God faithful when I am tempted? Well, how would I know that God is faithful when I am tempted? Well, at least by these things. First of all, because my temptations are not uncommon to humanity. Notice what he says here. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. It is common to humanity. In other words, you are not the only one in the whole world who is faced with this temptation. It is not uncommon. Here's what the devil likes to do for us, to us. Imagine a piece of dirt over in that corner where the floor and the two walls come together. He wants you to think that's what you are. He wants me to think that's what I am, and that we're the only one in the whole world that's experienced a particular trial or problem or temptation. He wants to isolate us. And God says, no, what you experience is not uncommon to man. In other words, other people have also experienced this. I'm not the only one in the world undergoing a particular temptation or a particular trial. And that's clear here. God is faithful. There are others who have suffered who can encourage. That's why a testimony can be so powerful. You realize, oh, God did that for them. Then God can do that for me. I remember a man, an evangelist, that I so respected. And my pastor, I respected. They talk about some of the struggles they had witnessing. I thought, oh, well, then I don't feel so bad. I had thought I was the only one like that. And we go to the Apostle Paul. He said, pray for me that I may have boldness. I need prayer, he says. Well, if he needed prayer, certainly I do. So we can be encouraged by the trials, the temptations that other people have faced and have gone through. I think that's why we have so many biographies in the Bible. Saints of God, Old and New Testament, who persevered through trial, who faced temptation and triumphed. The things tempting me have tempted others and even the Lord Jesus. Notice the first part of 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our forefathers, were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example. Many of these, a negative example, but they face temptation like we will face, but we don't have to fall, we don't have to succumb to it like many of them did. These things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So he says that there were those who were tempted and they fell. We don't have to do that because this temptation is not uncommon to man. When I am tempted, is God faithful? Absolutely, because there's something else. My temptations are not unbearable. That is so important to understand. My temptations are not unbearable. Someone else can bear up and I can bear up with those temptations. God has a mighty control device on the temptations. Notice verse 13. God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Isn't that great? Our temptation, our trials even, are not unbearable. God has a mighty control device on the temptation. He knows how much water to let pass over the dam. He knows how much we can resist. He knows how much divine torque to apply. I think I mentioned this before, but I used to have a little blue car, an AMC Spirit. And someone put the tires on the lug nuts very tight. And we were at this little place to change a flat. And this fellow was trying to get off the lug nut. And he put this wrench on it. And then, as I recall, he stood on that. He got the nut off, but the bolt with it, it broke. He put too much pressure on it and so sheared it off. There are pneumatic tools, torque wrenches, and they put so much pressure, and you can regulate the pressure so that the bolt won't shear. That nut being driven onto that bolt with so much pressure reminds me of how God will allow the nut of temptation to be torqued down on us, but not too much, so that it shears, so that it cuts off. He doesn't break us. And when trials come into our lives, or when he allows temptation even to come, though he doesn't cause them, he allows us to face the world, the flesh, and the devil. He does so so that we are able to bear it. We are able to not succumb like the forefathers did in the nation of Israel. Divine torque, the amount of pressure. And there are times that we may think, God, you're killing me. I can't do this. But God said, yes, you can. I'm faithful. I will be here with you. God gauges the intensity of the temptation to the strength of our spiritual life and our ability to resist. I think that may be why, as a mature Christian, if you've been saved for a while and you're growing in the Lord and you've matured, you may face some temptations or trials that a younger Christian may not face. They're not able to handle it yet. And God allows you to handle it, but you won't be sheared off if you're faithful. If you rest in him, you trust in him. There's a third way that I know that God is faithful in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. My temptations are not inescapable. I think of Joseph, this man, godly, faithful. Here he is in Potiphar's house. He was there by God's divine appointment. He is tempted. He resists day after day the onslaughts of Potiphar's wife, her come-ons. He resists all of that. And then he flees and ends up in prison. And then God exalts him to number two in Egypt. You see, he escaped. He said no day by day. And then physically, he had to escape. So my temptations are not inescapable. I can escape. There is a way out. And that we need to remember. There is a way out of a temptation. And so we should have a short prayer to God when temptation faces us. And it's this: where's the exit? Where's the way out? Lord, show me the way out. He showed Joseph the way out. Day by day he resisted. And then when she took hold of his coat, he fled. He physically left. I don't have to sin. We don't have to sin. Did you know that? There's nothing in the Bible that says you must sin today. We don't have to sin. Now, will we? Most likely. Do we have to? No. I can stand in his power, in the power of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And notice this. Does this sound peculiar to you? With the temptation, he'll make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. To bear up under it. Sometimes it's not leaving, it's being strong in the presence of the temptation and standing there that you can bear it. But God makes this wonderful way of spiritual escape and gives us strength. We do not have to sin like the forefathers of the nation of Israel did. Is God faithful when we are tempted? This verse says he is. God is faithful. Is God faithful when you are loaded down with trials? When it seems like you're trying to drink out of a fire hose? Is God faithful then? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God is faithful when I'm depressed. God is faithful when I'm tempted. But think about this. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Is God faithful when I sin, when I mess up as a child of God? Is God faithful? Notice what 1 John says here, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Wonderful words, and we should be familiar with these in our Christian life. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We need to understand that. Darkness representing sin. No sin in him. If we say that we have fellowship with him, partnership with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Oh, I love God. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. I love Jesus. And we're living in sin. He said, we're lying. The man I met that was living in a sinful relationship, but he liked to wear this hat, testifying his love for Jesus. But he didn't have a hunger to be with the people of God, because darkness in our lives keeps us away from the people of God. You see, we can deny our profession, and John is saying, you're living in darkness, it's a denial, because God is light. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now think of this picture. Have you seen in the morning sunlight, the sun coming through the trees? Or maybe you can see it coming through a window in your house and the sun rays are there in the living room or the parlor or wherever it's shining through. Or maybe you're on a path in the park and the sun is coming through the leaves of the tree and you can see it shining down, and then you walk in that light. It's so nice. It's a blessing. It's a beautiful sight. I like to think of it like that. God's light, his holiness shining down, and he wants us as his children to walk in that light, to take another step in the light of his holiness, in the light of who he is. And he says here, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, because God is light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with other believers. And look at what happens when we're walking in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When I expose my life to the searchlight of the heavens, the searchlight of the holiness of God, and I want fellowship with God, the blood of Jesus is applied to me and cleanses me, that fellowship may continue. What a blessing. And praise God for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And then John tells us, if we say that we have no sin, and I take this to be sin nature, sin principle, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say, I am completely sinless, or I have reached a high level of sanctification, I am sinless, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us, because we deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a propensity in us to sin. And if we say, don't have any problem at all, we're setting ourselves up for arrogant pride and for sin. But look what he says, verse 9. If we confess our sins, homologeo, to say the same thing about it as God says, to agree with God about it. Have you ever worked with someone, or have you ever been that someone that everyone else is always wrong, not them? Let's say someone comes to church one day, a man comes to church one day, and his tie is on backwards, back here. And he says, oh, that lousy mirror, my wife shouldn't have bought that, I knew it was a cheap one. He said, wait a minute, guy, who put your tie on? Why do you blame the mirror and your wife? Take responsibility. But we love to blame others. It's always somebody else's fault. That is not confession. We don't come to God and say, God, it's Gertrude's fault. God, it's Sam's fault. No, God, it was my fault. You said this was sin, and I just thought this or said this or did this, and it is sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me. We agree with God about it rather than make excuse of it and blame someone else. The devil loves to blame others. But notice this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Praise the Lord. Aren't these contexts of this truth of God's nature, His attribute of faithfulness, aren't they wonderful, these contexts, these three samples? When we sin, is God faithful? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not some, but all. And God is faithful to do that. Praise God. He will cleanse us. He will forgive us from all of it because of His faithful nature. Now, notice verse 7b. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood cleanses us. God doesn't demand sinlessness. He demands holiness, walking in the light, away from sin and toward holiness. One day, we will be sinless. We will be saved from the very presence of sin. But right now, we face the reality of sin, but our hearts should be tender to want to walk in the exposure of the light of heaven, in the holiness of God's nature. He demands holiness. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So I'm holy walking in the light. And when sin is exposed, I find the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I'm willing to confess it. So God desires the confession of our sins, that we continually, in an ongoing basis, deal with any sin problem. I don't know if this was an actual account, but I heard the account of a young man who was with this esteemed preacher of many years, and they were at a retreat or somewhere. And so the young man thought at night the preacher would get on his knees and have a lengthy prayer, confessing sin or whatever he needed to at the end of the day. And the preacher took off his slippers. He said, "Good night, Lord." And he lay down in the bed. He was confessed up. When we sin, that's when we confess. Don't wait till the end of the day. Don't wait till the next day. Don't wait for Sunday. If you sin, confess immediately. Maintain the fellowship. He desires that I continually deal with any sin problem. The horror of sin, I want to say this carefully, is not so much that it happens, though that is horrible, but it's that it is left unconfessed. And it begins to build like a cancer in us, a canker. And it amasses corruption and pus. We need to confess our sins. I'm talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come humbly before Him and confess our sins. And God provides forgiveness. We confess, He forgives, and He cleanses. He cleanses us. Thank the Lord for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. And not only that, God gives a defense. Notice what He says in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. I love that. God's will for us, not to sin. I'm writing that you not sin. But then He adds this. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Praise God. If we sin, there's an advocate, a defense attorney, because God is faithful. It's not like this. Oh, you, my child, you sinned. Forget it. Done with you. Didn't you do that at yesterday or last year? I'm done with you. Forget it. Off with you. God doesn't do that. We come humbly. We confess our sin to Him. The devil will say God is done with us. He will accuse us to the Father. But the defense attorney at the Father's right hand, the advocate, stands up and he said, I shed my blood for her, for him. Be gone. And it says here in verse 2, He Himself is the propitiation, the substitutionary, satisfactory sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. God does not cut us off. He offers restoration through the faithful high priest, the Lord Jesus. Go back a couple books to Hebrews chapter 2 and notice these words. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. God is faithful when I'm depressed. God is faithful when I sin. God is faithful at all times. I can trust him. I can rest in him. God is faithful because of a faithful high priest who has shed his own blood for our souls, that we could be cleansed, that we could be forgiven, and that we could maintain fellowship with him as we face the storms of life. God is faithful. There he is. And we can rest in him. Praise the Lord for the wonders and the faithfulness of God. God is faithful, and his faithfulness in the storms of life proves it. No matter what happens to us, he is there. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us. He is faithful when we face temptation. He is faithful even when we fail and we sin. We can come to him and be cleansed and find the relationship renewed. He maintains that faithfulness. Now let me just reemphasize this. If you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you're a child of God, and you go along in the Christian life, maybe things are just going so well and you're just flying on a cloud and you're on a mountaintop and the Lord seems so close, and all of a sudden you face a temptation and you mess up, you fail. And now you feel distant from God. And the devil comes and he says, well, see there, you're probably not even saved. Do you need to get saved over again? No, what you need to do is to confess your sin because you are still God's child. Now, at the moment, you're not experiencing the clarity of fellowship with him. There's a blockage. So you confess your sin. 1 John 1:9, I confess my sin. And then that fellowship is renewed and I'm walking in the light and the blood is applied to me. So let's understand this clearly. But if you have not yet trusted Christ as Savior, that's what comes first. God is faithful that he provided a faithful high priest. And you come to him and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried, he rose again the third day. I'm believing the gospel and trusting in Christ to save me. God will save you. He's faithful to his word. And then as we live the Christian life, we resist the evil one and the power of the resurrected Christ based on the blood of Christ, who was faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're down, you're tempted, or sinning, run to God, who can be nothing other than faithful. And then let us be faithful, like our loving Heavenly Father, who is always faithful, even in the storms of life. Let's learn from him and be faithful to God and to other brothers and sisters in Christ, even in the storms. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that we can bank on your faithfulness. Lord, thank you that you are faithful to cleanse us when we sin. Lord, thank you that even when supplies run low, your resources haven't run out. You're faithful. Lord, thank you that you will not put on us more than we can bear in trials or temptations. Help us, Lord, to call out to you continually when we're facing any of these storms. And help us, Lord, to hold dear to our hearts your faithfulness. And teach us, Lord, to be faithful back to you because you are faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.